Four great cars, Plymouth, Dodge, DeSoto, and Chrysler, again bring you your friend, Major Edward Bowes, and his original amateur hour. This is certainly a big night for all of us. Our four great cars are about to announce their new 1940 models. The first of these is the great 1940 Plymouth. Tonight, Major Bowes is going to tell you about this wonderful new car. And it's a real event because, as you will soon see, never before has such an extraordinary value been offered at low price. Meanwhile, our gifted amateurs are ready to entertain you and to entrust their success to you and to your votes. In tonight's Honor City, Mansfield, telephone Maine 9900. In New York, call Murray Hill 89933. Or if you prefer, vote by mail from your home or in your dealer's showroom, addressing Chrysler Corporation in care of your own station. And now, here is Major Bowes.
Good evening, friends. On this opening day of autumn, we spin our weekly Wheel of Fortune for the 236th consecutive time. Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. First tonight are the Harlem Roustabouts, an instrumental quintet. My goodness, look at that big boy walking up there. A big boy with a bass fiddle. Give him his fiddle. He won't be happy till he gets his fiddle. What do you boys do for a living?
Well, I'm a butcher.
No, into the microphone, that's it.
I'm a butcher and Sam's a chef.
I see. How big are you, big fella?
I'm 6 feet 3 inches tall and weigh 298 pounds.
Well, I declare, I figured an even 300. You see how wrong a man can be. In your hands, that bass fiddle will look like a viola. Are you married?
I almost got married once, but the lady said she couldn't feed me the way I was accustomed to eating.
Well, what's your song?
I found a new baby.
See? Perhaps she won't object to your big appetite, huh? All right, I found a new baby. Let her go. In the north-central section of Ohio, on the last of the hills of the Appalachian Highlands, our Chrysler motorcade pauses to salute the city of Mansfield, capital of Richland County. 50 years after the first westward wave of migration from New England and Pennsylvania, Mansfield was laid out and surveyed by James Hedges and John Lowell. They named it in honor of their instructor, Jared Mansfield, Surveyor General of the United States. While Mansfield's growth has been steady and sure, it was the coming of the Mansfield and Sandusky Railroad in 1846 that began her real march to progress. Strategically located at the southern edge of Ohio's great industrial belt, she lies in the center of the nation's iron and steel production. Close by are vast stores of raw materials, and easy accessibility to markets and the center of population. Mansfield is frankly industrial, from a busy factory for automobile tires and tubes, sheet steel, stoves, brass products, farm equipment, textile products, motors, pumps, plumbing fixtures, and refrigerators and the electrical household appliances. Mansfield is a city of great natural beauty, a notably healthful city. The imposing homes rest in her fine residential districts. Her parks are beautiful, her boulevards wide, and she's known as a city of churches. Johnny Appleseed, an eccentric exponent of orchard development, is closely linked with the early history of Mansfield. A monument to his memory stands in Middle Park. And so to Mansfield, one of Ohio's leading industrial cities, we send our admiring greetings. From Marana City, in Mansfield, Helen Dixon, a coloratura soprano, a heart that's free. I mean, that's the name of the song. Your home is in Mansfield, Helen.
I was born there, Major Bowes. I'm a stenographer for the Sheet and Tin Plate Company.
Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying New York?
I haven't seen much yet, but it looks very exciting. And oh, such handsome men.
Would you please look into the microphone if you will? Ah, all right, a heart that's free. Let her go. And the telephone in New York is Murray Hill 89933, and in Mansfield, in case anybody there desires to vote for Helen Dixon, the telephone is Maine 9900. First caller from Mansfield, Carl Johnson, 485 Spring Mill Street, and from this area, Mr. and Mrs. Julia, 2219 East 12th Street in Brooklyn. Red Bill Lane, Red Lane Imitator. Red, your hair is not red, it's blonde.
When I wash it, it turns red.
Red, when do you figure it might be red again?
Well, my face always turns red easy, but I bet it's red now because you think I haven't washed my hair in a long time.
No, Red, you're meticulously immaculate, I will say that. What do you do for a living, Red?
I mix colors for a plastic and chemical corporation.
Plastics are modern and beautiful and largely used in industry today.
Yes, Chrysler Corporation uses a lot of our items. Boy, are they particular. If everything isn't just 100%, well, it's just too bad for us. They buy the highest price stuff, too.
Red, you couldn't have said anything nicer to me at this moment. Very pleasing indeed. Now, Red, you've got a lot of imitations listed here. I'll call them off as far as time we can spare. You've got here The Life of a Rooster in four parts. One day, 4 months, a year, and 4 or 5 years old. Now, the eating would vary, of course, in those periods, but how's the sound? One day. All right, now 4 months. Now a year old rooster. Now at the end of 4 or 5 years of amateur hours on this farm. I'd like to come out and say it, but that's an impersonation of me. Now, ringneck pheasant. How does a ringneck pheasant sound? Red-winged blackbird. Like little Sir Echo. A robin. Robin? Now a monkey. And a lion. And of course, that lion doesn't mean a word of it. But still, I'll let you go in the cage. Give us an ape now. Now, you've got how traffic cops are in different cities. Let's take three of them. First is Los Angeles traffic cop. Now in Paris, Agent Thibault. Now give us one of Commissioner Valentine's pets in New York City, a traffic cop.
Come on, girls, come on, get across.
Now, what about the taxi drivers? He can't say, come on, girls, for them.
Well, then he says, come on, you mugs, what are you waiting for?
Now, for the benefit of the household pets of our listeners, let's have a cat fight. Hmm? Sing like the birdies sing.
Thank you.
voting. Evelyn Shea, she sang Wishing. The Four Romeos, instrumental quartet. Sven Tollefsen, Norwegian accordionist. Jacob Hohenemser, baritone. Bill Woods, one-man hillbilly band. Jack Raymond, violinist. Bill Evers, acrobatic chair tap dancer. Jack and Jill, but Jill was ill, so Jack yodeled alone. Henry Matysiak, basso. Swanee River Boys, Negro tramp band. The next Thursday night, we salute Muskegon, Michigan. The Thursday following, October 5th, our honor city will be Elgin, Illinois. Have your talent. Would you like to be on this program? Try it. We'll make things pleasant for you. Just write a letter giving full particulars from New York or its vicinity. Robert Chauhan, tenor, Le Rave. Where are you from, Robert?
I'm from Boise, Idaho, but I've been working in a bank in Wall Street for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. You married?
Yes, and my wife is my fierce critic.
Mm-hmm.
That is music critic. Hmm? That is music critic.
I see. Otherwise, she's indulgent. Is that it?
That's right. And,
Well, all right. What about it?
Well, I don't think I ought to tell it.
All right. What is La Rave in English? La Rave.
The dream.
That's your wife. All right. From men on by Master Maid. Let's have it. A Hoffman Sisters, yodeling trio, guitar. Where are you from, girls?
Patterson, New Jersey, Major Bowles. We're all 2 years apart, beginning with 15.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to play?
I want to be a cowboy sweetheart.
I hope you get your wish. All right, let's have it. Thank you. The telephone is Maine 9900. That's the Hoffman sisters from Paterson, New Jersey. I have a telegram here stating that 500 members of Mansfield's Chamber of Commerce are gathered in the Westinghouse Auditorium listening to the program. I wish I might be there. And the 200th caller from Mansfield, Miss Bella Young, 122 Glenwood Boulevard, and from New York, Mrs. Evelyn Greers, 46 West 53rd. First telephone bull, the Harlem Rastabouts, got 1,102 calls. Helen Dixon from Mansfield, 3696, Red Bill Lane, 964, and Robertron, 118. Marion Caruso, the illustrious name, 12 years of age. She's a dancer from Wilkes-Barre, and she dances to the music of Melancholy Baby. Pretty much all the facts. How long have you been dancing, Marion?
I've been dancing five years from Tony Grant. And singing lessons, too.
Good. You practice much.
My daddy makes me practice 3 hours a day, but I love him anyway.
What's your daddy's business?
My daddy's a salesman, and he has a Plymouth car.
You have a very nice daddy, and I love him, too.
My daddy says he's going to buy a 1940 Plymouth.
Oh, I love him like a brother. All right, Melancholy Baby, let's go. Marion Caruso, a pupil of the gifted Tony Grant of Wilkes-Barre. This is the time of year when Mrs. America dons her new
Postillion Chapeau arranges its snood back over her lovely curls and looks forward to a happy autumn. Mr. America acquires the annual snap brim felt and an extra spring in his step. And this particularly is the time our 1940 models make their debut. The low-priced automobile is one of the greatest contributions ever made to American civilization. The entire continent is your playground with health, education, and relaxation for all the family. 7 out of every 10 cars sold are in the no-priced class. The Plymouth advance in popularity by leaps and bounds is one of the miracles of American industry. And that rise of Plymouth to the peak of popularity can only mean one thing, that it is the utmost in automobile value for your dollar. And so tonight I shall turn the spotlight on our new 1940 Plymouth. In Detroit 2 weeks ago, I saw it for the first time. I was enthralled. Our president, K.T. Keller, with a proverbial cat that swallowed the canary smile, said, "Well, Major, there's our new baby. What do you think of it?" One word stood out in my mind, and I answered, "Superb." When you see that car, I know you too will say, "Superb." And now for some details. The 1940 Plymouth is much bigger. Actually, the wheelbase has been increased from 114 to 117 inches. The body is completely new. Its interior is 10 cubic feet bigger than last year. You may choose your car with or without running board. And the Road King, as well as the Deluxe Plymouth, has our marvelous steering wheel gear shift. Headlamps are the new sealed beam type, giving brighter illumination for a further distance along the road at night with lens, reflector, and filament fully protected from dust and moisture. The 1940 Plymouth is lower without cutting down the headroom. The windshield is wider for better vision. The rear window is curved and all in one piece for better visibility. The spare tire is mounted vertically in the trunk compartment. Your luggage or the tire may be moved without disturbing the other. As for the new luxury ride, that is, as the Debs say, something out of this world. And I say that after a stiff test ride in New York yesterday. The rear door is full width, and rear windows may be rolled all the way down. You get full front seat comfort on the rear seat. The extreme of riding comfort is a combination of new roominess, new greater vision, wonderful upholstery, and the combined results of chassis engineering, which give you floating power, new weight distribution, rubber body mountings, and a molar steel coil spring. A 1940 Plymouth has a new transmission. Gear shifting is now a pleasure, crashing practically impossible. Its horsepower rating has been increased. Oil filters are now standard equipment. Pistons have a new type of surface coating for reducing friction, and vital engine parts are super finished with our new process, giving finer performance and longer life. If I have been able to convey to you even a part of my prideful enthusiasm, you will wish to go to your Plymouth dealer and see this superb example. Why not be the first in town to take a welcome ride in our 1940 Plymouth, the new low-priced beauty with a luxury ride? I thank you.
In a moment, we will continue with Major Bowes' original amateur hour. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WJSB, Washington.
We now continue with Major Bowes' original amateur hour, presented by Plymouth, Dodge Cars and Trucks, DeSoto and Chrysler. All appointments and innumerable messages of goodwill have come from Mansfield, Major, from the Honorable John W. Bricker, Governor of Ohio, Mayor Claude M. Hunter, Police Chief Bates, Sheriff Long, Fire Chief Seeberger, Councilman George Berg, President Van der Rohe, and Secretary Rootson of the Chamber of Commerce, and President Eric of the Junior Chamber, Manager Graham of the Mansfield News Journal, Chairman Mitchell of the Richland County Commissioners, Earl Nist, and from Lewis Bromfield, world-renowned novelist, resident of Mansfield, and from many other citizens, clubs, and civic bodies. Major?
Thank you, Ralph, and my thanks for the many fine souvenirs also for exhibitions at the Chrysler Building and the World's Fair and to the Mansfield florist. Dorothy Moore, popular singer. Are you employed, Dorothy?
Only at home helping Mother.
I see. Well, that's important. Have you had voice training?
No, sir, but I've been singing ever since I was 7 years old. I'm 19 now.
Mm-hmm. And what do you propose to sing for us?
Over the Rainbow.
That's nice. From the motion picture Wizard of Oz. All right? I'd like to see anybody stop that girl from having a career. We're going to see that she gets a chance. John Tucker. John Tucker, the Whistling Wizard. And where are you from, John?
Oh, I'm a Londoner, Major Burrows. I came over here about 2 weeks ago. I was going to one of your universities here, but the pound sterling has dropped so low that I very much doubt whether I can do it.
Well, now, what's your particular study?
Oh, I do legal research. I did 4 years at London University in economics, and I'm a graduate in law at Cambridge. I believe, though, that I'm the only person who can do whistling in counterpoint.
You mean whistle two different melodies at the same time? Can you manage a Bach fugue?
Yes, Major Burrows. Strangely enough, I can. And I also do some impersonations of well-known people in London. They told me in England that you'd like what I did over here.
Well, I'm sure of it. I'm glad for that recommendation, too. Tell me, is this your first trip to America?
Yes, and I find it absolutely stupendous and very rushed. Very rushed indeed.
That's a very good description, Stupendous.
But the American people are most kind and thoughtful, and I do love your subways. Of course, the fans are a great help.
I'll say that. Would you be willing to give your considered opinion of our American girls?
On the whole, I find they're much quicker and smarter. Smarter and quicker at everything than the English girls. And from the very little I've seen of American girls, I should think they're more hard-boiled than the English girls.
Oh. Well, now, hard-boiled, that's enigmatic. It's a slam, isn't it? Just what do you mean by hard-boiled?
Major Bowes, getting back to whistling... Do you think I could make some money by my double whistling? Because I very much want to, and I'd be able to go to the university if I do.
Well, having made that other matter perfectly clear, is whistling your ambition?
Oh, not really. I'm very fond of music, but I expect to be a barrister, and if I'm very lucky, later on, perhaps a professorship at Cambridge. It's just lovely out there. Mm. Cambridge, England.
Let's have your imitation. First here is Duck Going Into the Water.
Duck Going
Into
the Water.
Now, I think you're a little close there, aren't you? Yeah.
Oh, Major Bowes, before I do my double whistle, I wonder if I could tell you a little incident that happened in an omnibus in London, where a man was accused of, or convicted, of homicide. He got into court, and the judge asked him, he said...
Are you going to ask me if you might tell that?
Oh, yes. I beg your pardon.
Oh, no.
Would you mind if I do tell it
I'd be delighted to have you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I think it will interest
people.
Judge
Barrett, I want to keep the record clear. All right, let's have it.
Thank you, Major Bird. Well, the man got into court, and the judge said to him, "Tell me, my man, why did you do this? Have you anything to say?" "Well, my lord, it was like this. I got into a bus, and a lady got into the bus after me and sat down beside me. And she wanted to get out her fare. So she opened her bag and took out a purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and took out a penny and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Well, then, the conductor went past her, so she put her penny away again. She opened her bag and took out the purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and put back the penny and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Well, then, the conductor came round and said, 'Fares, please.' So she opened her bag and took out the purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and took out a penny and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Well, then, the conductor clipped her a ticket. So she had to put her ticket away again. So she opened the bag and took out the purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and put in the ticket and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Well, then the inspector came along and said, 'Madam, I want to see your ticket.' So she opened the bag and took out the purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and took out a ticket and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Then the inspector said, 'Thank you, madam, that ticket's in order.' So she had to put it away again. So she opened the bag, took out the purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and put in the ticket and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Then the conductor came along and said, 'Madam, your fare ends here. You must pay another penny.' So she opened the bag and took out the purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and took out a penny and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Then the conductor clipped her another ticket. So she had to put it away. So she opened the bag and took out the purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and put in the ticket and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Then another inspector came along and said, 'Madam, I want to see your ticket, please.' So she had to get it out. So she opened the bag and took out the purse and closed the bag and opened the purse and took out the ticket and closed the purse and opened the bag and put in the purse and closed the bag. Then the inspector said, 'Thank you, madam, your ticket's in order.' So she opened the bag, took out the purse, closed the bag, opened the purse, put in the ticket, and closed the purse, opened the bag, put in the purse, closed the bag. Then the conductor came along and said, 'Madam, you must pay another penny.' So she opened the bag, and the judge said to him, 'My God, if you go on like that, I'll strangle you.' 'My lord,' said the man, 'that is exactly what I did to the woman.'"
Well, I think we'll have to jump down to an example of your whistling. Double melody and counterpoint whistling. A double tone whistlers we've had, that is, whistling in thirds, isn't uncommon. But counterpoint whistling requires two completely independent whistles in second, third parts, in fact, all of the intervals. Now, let's first have just the double melody.
Mm-hmm.
That particular thing is a fragment of the second movement of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. Now give us the same thing in counterpoint. If anybody else can do it, I never heard of it. Now we'll finish up with the Indian Love Call in double tone. And in Mansfield, the telephone is Maine 9900. And that's John Tucker of London. This is William Hetherington from McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Very handsome boy in the uniform of the United States Navy. What's your rating, William?
Electrician's mate, third class, Major.
Now, say that again.
Electrician's mate, third class.
What ship?
USS Tuscaloosa.
Oh, my. That's the Tuscaloosa the president went fishing.
Yes, sir, Major. That's the ship. And he's quite a fisherman, too. He caught more fish than the rest of the men on the ship put together.
Good for him. Do you recommend the Navy as a career for boys?
Well, yes, but it's not so easy to get into. You sort of have to be physically perfect and be of good character.
Mm-hmm. What did you say is the percentage of rejections?
Oh, about... Well, most of the fellows are well-behaved and... I like nice girls who can dance.
I see. What's your favorite ballad?
White Sails is what I like to sing.
All right, let's have it. Nick Cannon.
White sails beneath a yellow moon sail on across the sea. White sails will reach a harbor soon where my heart longs to be. Someone is watching and waiting so patiently, watching for you, waiting for me. White sails will find our blue lagoon for you, my love and me. Some one is watching and waiting so patiently. Watching for you, waiting for me. White sails will find our blue lagoon. For you, my love, and me.
Tuscaloosa.
And here's where you'll find our Wanderer, the Swing School Unit, until Sunday at the Palomar Theater, Seattle, Washington, Monday, Centralia, Wednesday and Thursday, Victoria, British Columbia, beginning next Friday at the Beacon Theater in Vancouver. Fifth Anniversary Unit opens tomorrow week at the Rivoli Theater, Toledo, Ohio. World's Fair Unit starts tomorrow week at the Palace Theater, Stamford, Connecticut, and so the Wheel of Fortune spins thanks to you and the Chrysler Corporation. This is a reminder to all vacationers who expect to visit New York and who think they have talent for this program to send us a letter letting us know when you'll be here or communicate with us upon your arrival, and you'll be giving a prompt appointment. Martha Booker, blues singer. Martha, will you tell us a little bit of yourself?
I'll tell you everything about myself, Major Bowles, because I'm not looking for a husband.
All right, a true confession, huh?
I'm 5'1", and I weigh 235 pounds.
That's very complete information, I think.
Oh, I ain't told you nothing yet. I have 8 children, and I'm a grandmother, too. I've been singing all my life. So I thought I'd come over and let you hear me.
Well, it just is about time.
Next to singing, I'm a good cook.
What's your specialty?
What's my special? Short meat and a long gravy. I like to cook best.
My salivary glands just woke up and said, "Why, Ted?" All right, now what's your song?
After You Gone.
All right, let's have it. If you will now, Gina Valenti, a little 7 year older, and she walks up with an accordion. Gina, what is it you do to entertain?
I play the piano and accordion and I dance.
Is that all? What's your daddy do?
He gives lessons.
On what?
On piano.
I see. And what is it does daddy? I'm talking that way, too. Thinking about that long gravy, I think, and short leaf. Why did your daddy suggest that you play for us?
I'm going to play Dark Eyes on the accordion.
And on the piano?
Sofagetto by Bach and Gina Swing by Lauren Cook.
All right, a popular classic. Let's have it now on your accordion. The piano. Now, Alexander Pirov. Alexander Pirov, he's 30 and he's a baritone. Where's your home, Alexander?
In Bulgaria. But at present moment, I'm for 2 months already in America.
All right. You speak English pretty well.
I went to American college in Turkey. That's Robert College. And I speak some other languages. I think better than American.
Are you employed?
No, I'm a visitor, and my father owns a large wine business in Bulgaria.
I see. How do you like America?
Oh, it's a wonderful country, wonderful temple, very, very nice woman, and I never saw so many nice women at the same place like in America, and they're very well built and very sporty.
We're getting a variety of opinions tonight. You're married, I take it.
No, I don't need to be married.
I see.
And could I sing to you a Russian gypsy song?
Yes, all right, let's have it. A little nervous. All right, come on, brush and dip yourself.
Что-то грустно, эх, дай гитару, запить песню про любовь или поехать лучек яру. Разогреть шампанским кровь. Разогреть шампанским кровь. Лошадей, брат, не жалей. Альпагаль, пошел ты к яру, отпогоняй, брат, поскорей. Ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла, ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла, ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла, отпогоняй, брат, поскорей.
Receive your votes. In New York, telephone Murray Hill 89933. In Mansfield, call Maine 9900. On subsequent broadcast nights, Major Bowes will bring you the official news about the 1940 models of the other three of our great cars. Next Thursday will be devoted to the beautiful Chrysler for 1940. I doubt if I've ever seen Major Bowes as excited as he is tonight about this great new 1940 Plymouth. And it's no wonder. The 1940 Plymouth has new style, new bigness, and a new ride that will astonish you. Major Bowes has been all over this great car many times in the last few weeks, but his most thrilling experience was his demonstration ride. Now, the important thing is to have you get this same thrill. Your Plymouth is waiting for you. This low-priced beauty with the luxury ride. Go around to your Plymouth dealer this very weekend. Get this new, big, roomy, powerful car out on the road. See how sweetly it handles. Enjoy a riding comfort beyond anything you ever believed possible. When you come back, you'll say, well, that's certainly the biggest thrill I ever got out of a motor car. Major?
Thank you, Ralph. I just have a message from Howard Pegley of the Rivoli Theater in Toledo. Telephone for Red Bill Lane to join our 5th anniversary unit opening there a week from tomorrow. I do with the days and the hours that must be counted ere I resume this place? How shall I charm the interval that lowers between this time and that sweet time of grace? Until Thursday next, then, I thank you for Chrysler Corporation, its dealers, the amateurs, and myself. Good evening, friends.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.